Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this bonus episode of the Nixendor Kogibul Show. My name is Nixendor Kogibul, the namesake for this here podcast. Well, I thought it'd be a good idea to do another bonus episode, and I had decided on the spot, well, this was a while ago, that I would end up covering numerology. Last bonus episode, I covered gematria and date numerology, with a sliver of a reference to Chinese numerology, specifically my soul urge number of 1 and my destiny number of 8. There are more parts to this form of numerology, which I will be getting into this week's bonus episode. Sit back, relax, grab some water, or a good steak. We're going down my Chinese numerology today. Now, in order to do this properly, I will disclose that not every part of Chinese numerology is true. But it does bring up some good point of my personality, and why I tend to act the way I do. Some people say it's witchcraft, the alteration of reality using magic and divination. But if it was used for the scriptures, I'd say I'm good to use it. I may be wrong, but that's where I stand as of right now. Starting off, we have my Chaldean number. Now, there are a few ways I could go about this, but I'll use 2. You know me by the name Nixendoik Kokules, as I've gone by this name since 2015. However, I have a 72 in that, which would make it a 9 when you add those 2 digits together. In that case, I would be ruled by Mars, and be considered compassionate, humanitarian, and a philanthropist with a cosmic outlook. People who have a Chaldean number of 9 are, on average, selfless, compassionate, and deeply concerned with the world, and are usually teachers, healers, or driven towards addressing global issues of today. However, my full legal name, as I mentioned last bonus episode, is equal to 61. But that's my Chaldean number of 7. In that case, I'm considered to be betrothed, in a sense, to the moon. This is for, on average, spirituality, wisdom, and deep diving into the unknown or hidden. The term occult means hidden. So this would kind of make sense for me, personally speaking. I do have some 7s in my numerology, and this can mean I'm drawn to the spiritual or metaphysical realms. This makes sense too, based upon what I practice. 7s are usually introspective, philosophical, usually solitary, thrive in research, science, and spiritual pursuits. This doesn't really fly for me right now, with the exception of research, which I'm getting pretty good at for the most part, though I have a lot to learn. Let's do this. Yo, let me start my process of 3-8, spitting to my clock numb. Haters being aids and saboteurs from a cutting board. Place your Manhattan, I'm not budging an inch. I'm just going in the order of locally saved HTML files I have, using a tool called Single File, which is a browser extension for when I want to save a page for offline use. That said, I will now go into my attitude number, which is 1. The way this is calculated is the date of birth, which is the 27th of the month for me, and birth month, which for me is a 10. Added up, this is a 37, a seemingly random number people will come up with. I break this down to 3 plus 7, which is 10. However, add those 2 digits together, you get 1. That's my attitude number. Use this formula to calculate your attitude number if you'd like to go along with me. Now, For most of these, I'm using Matt Beach's site, Beach as in B-E-E-C-H. In this case, those with an attitude number of 1 are, on average, assertive, confident, good leaders, and well-driven, though we are standoffish. That's actually describing me pretty well, and I'll explain why using Matt's estimates. That's all they are, estimates. As for a 1, it said that I'm independent and don't really like to ask for help. However, this can be assumed that I'm hostile or arrogant, but it may not be that way necessarily. According to Matt's writing, I'm just, quote, way too self-motivated and have strong leadership skills. And people are scared that I might, quote, take over. However, it's said that I feel like I was born to be a winner, no matter the path or trial I go through, because I can, quote, play the odds because you have a deep faith that you'll win. However, I don't have faith in myself, but in a higher power instead. This is where Matt and I would disagree, but otherwise, good points to be made. With that, my faith is said to increase when I prove myself to my loved ones that I can be trustworthy. And when people show they believe in me, this gives me the courage to achieve a particular thing. If this is not done, it's said that I act like a rebel.
Hunger for power, to the bet me coward, I ain't gonna let you bow. Finna be trapped in the treehouse mousetrap, gonna boil your blood. Boy, their plans might doubt you, finna be do or die.
In terms of independence as an attitude 1, I'm pretty self-sufficient, though sometimes I would need to step back a bit and let someone help me out if and or when needed. It's said that I've been known to make firm, clear, and rigid decisions as I study my needs, which is true to a certain extent. This gives me intellectual freedom. I do like to face challenges, though the most glaring is the shortage of time. At some point, however, my anecdote is that I just tend to give up on a few things if I'm doing too much at one time. As long as my willpower is more powerful than my emotions, I'll do just fine. Despite that, I don't really like to ask for help all that often, especially since I feel like a subordinate, so it's said. This can lead, however, to me being assumed stubborn, when that's not what I intend. However, what makes this way unbalanced is that I have a life path of 5, which I will talk about later in this episode. Another positive is that I'm quite confident in what I do. It's a crucial factor in leadership, making firm decisions at that and staying with them. This describes a winning mindset, and this comes and stays when I keep practicing it in my life. That I do to a certain extent. And it's thanks to my higher power giving me the knowledge necessary to be confident in what I do. I'd say that's a win-win. The caveat is that, despite my energy lying in my willpower, my winning could get into my head. And if I become ignorant and self-centered, well, that's bad news. As a fellow Attitude 1, it's recommended you stay humble and down to earth, like I try to do with my willpower. On top of that, this keeps relationships with people around us stable. Now, in terms of an attitude number I'd be more likely compatible with, this I'm not sure about. If you know, feel free to let me know about that. Most likely, wavelength comments, fountain comments. And that's it, because this is a bonus episode. Now, in terms of a birthday number, this is chosen for us, And the same with our families. We grow to find ourselves in that particular group of humans we're stuck with for life. Till death do us part, if you will. This will bring a sense of spirituality, divinity blossomed with each passing day. One's birthday is one of the most important days of their life. It's celebrated each year, marking milestones reached up to that point. This day feels like the stars are aligned. Loved ones embrace us with love and a shower of gifts. And we're the center to which every part of this numerology revolves around. There are 31 of these days, depending on the month. I was born on the month of October, which has all 31 days, the 27th in particular. Because of this, it is said that true tolerance and compassion are my nature, curious by natural instinct to even acquire immense insights and knowledge to apply it. Sometimes, not so much. When I'm talking about tolerance, I'm talking about true, normal tolerance. You know, tolerance for normalcy. Not the messed up, mentally ill version of tolerance that's been pushed down our throats for years. This also means I possess business skills to achieve huge results in important areas, bringing about endurance and determination, pushing me towards success. This is true, as you have seen with my two YouTube channels. Well, I gave both of them to my higher power, you see. One of them has almost 700 followers because of this. Next comes the destiny number. I have three sources for this, not just Beach this time around. In my case, I have a destiny number of 8. There are several things that strike me as a destiny number of 8. Firstly, this number represents the direction of growth during my lifetime, as it's said to be moving up a ladder of attainment in the material world, achieving financial security and status among my peers. The negative aspect is being rigid and stubborn. Well, with autism, rigidity has never really been easier. Strain after money, materialism, status, and power can be weaponized by those with a destiny number of 8, which is bad news in my opinion. I wouldn't want to do that as an 8. 8s have a knack for leadership, organization, and manifestation of goals to reality if those are trained. They have an innate understanding of how the material world operates, making them experts of resource management, building structures, and creating, I'll be using the Latin term here, ordo ab caos, or order out of chaos. Isn't that the slogan of a certain secret society? That said, ambition is a plus, and setbacks can't be easy to overcome where others see failure, and another attempt is what we 8s tend to see. Dating someone as an 8 requires a partnership that reflects the ambition and need for stability. Though we draw to power, it can lead to control or dominance issues. So we need a good balance as an 8. And I'm talking about myself too as one. A good tip according to Beach is vulnerability, openness, and sharing the spotlight. These are key as an 8. Now, there's more to being an 8 in destiny numbers. Us 8s thrive in careers where we take charge, manage large projects, and achieve success. Best in rules that allow us to use leadership skills, organizational skills, and financial observation. We excel in an environment where ambition is fully realized, often causing us to rise to the top in business, politics, or finance. But we may also be good entrepreneurs too, building a legacy and wealth for others, not just ourselves. The best careers for an 8 are as a CEO or a business leader, financial analyst or investment banker, an attorney or a judge, entrepreneur or a real estate developer, or as a politician or a public servant. If we know anything about politics, my life path number 5 is not compatible with that at all. Next will be my karmic debt numbers, which are 14, 16, and 19. This centers around the Buddhist and Hindu idea of karma. Long story short, it's said that one's actions of a previous life, if that exists, happened to transfer to a reincarnated person to affect their quality of life. To be fair, I don't agree with Hinduism nor Buddhism, though Buddhism is very similar to what I practice in a few aspects. Anyway, since I have a life path of 5, though a personality number of 7 and a soul urge of 1, this means I have the 14, 16, and 19 karmic debts. A karmic debt can be determined by the numbers 1, 4, 5, 7, or 9, if going by both personality and life path. Otherwise, if you were born on the 13th, 14th, 16th, or 19th of a Gregorian calendar month, all of these things I'm using are Gregorian calendar months, you are automatically with that karmic debt. A soul urge number of 1, 4, 5, 7, or 9 will also let you know if you have a cosmic due, which after finding out that I have a soul urge of 1, in connection with an attitude number of 1, this would end up strengthening my karmic debt of 19, in my personal opinion. It might not. A karmic debt of 14 indicates hope and fear. The goal of someone with this karmic debt is to stick with it. It's very hard for us to focus and are assumed to be ADHD, someone with autism, or someone with any other brain injury or neurological issue. This can be a part of it, but this is also a karmic debt we have to repay if we believe this type of stuff to begin with. Focus is the whole point of paying this karmic debt, especially balance. Commitment is a key in this karmic debt, as overindulgence is a bad idea. Every once in a while is not bad in some cases. Wising up is also part of paying this debt, and controlling fear is another, especially facing one's challenges head-on and creating efficient workarounds to said challenges. In contrast, a karmic debt of 19 indicates dependence on someone else. Most of the challenges by a 19 in this discipline will be personal challenges. We have to learn to become independent and stand on our own 2 feet. One way to pay this debt is a life of service, either helping others or letting others help you. I tend to help others a lot, so I believe, especially with tech and music, as far as I'm aware. We need to learn to ask for help and accept it, as opposed to resisting anything from other people. We're connected to others, but we do need assistance, support, love, and advice, even if our instinct tells us to go it alone and tough it out. This has to do with the destiny number of 8 for me, as I touched upon earlier. The challenges for 19 are as follows, and may be true for us if we possess these traits, such as being a prideful know-it-all, manipulative deceiver, headstrong turd, overdependent cling wrap, having a lack of self-esteem, forgetting the needs of others or downright neglecting them, overemphasis on outward appearance, or in the worst cases, narcissism. All we have to do is acknowledge and act upon, even understand and master the lessons we can learn as a 19, and we'll do just fine. Otherwise, we'll become destructive and repeat the lessons in a different light and a different life, which do not exist. Now comes the karmic debt of a 16, which I unfortunately also have after looking deeper into my numerology. A 16 indicates that I would need to kill off my old self and start with a clean slate. Now, there's something I agree with. I believe in the book I read, it is said that you need to kill your old self and start fresh. This has to do with ego being the biggest factor, and also idolatry, which also ties into ego. If anything, the challenge for those with a karmic debt of 16 include excessive isolation, difficulty developing a relationship, people thinking you're unapproachable, coming across as self-centered, emotional connection being difficult, and relationship sabotage. Basically, learn not to do that as a 16, and you should be good to go. Next up will be the personality number, which for me is a 7. Essentially, this all has to do with being spiritual, strongly opinionated, frail, and independent. Also, in some cases, we tend to be somewhat introverted. Despite that, as a 7 in personality, it's pretty obvious that we're drawn towards the sacred, and that we're always searching for the meaning of life. You don't really need to search if you know which book to read. It's our instruction manual, if you will. And no, it's not what you're thinking, because I'm not going to explain that for personal reasons. Anyway, a 7's in the personality number tend to excel at thinking, which makes us seem misunderstood or misinterpreted for the most part. While 7's have to do with protection and spirituality, this also provides quite an interesting vibrational energy. For us 7's in this discipline, we tend to look for deep thinking and meaningful reflection. We enjoy discussing metaphysics, science, and civilization. And even dreams are a mystery we crave to solve and understand. We're always learning, yearning to learn more and more about anything and everything within reason. Beyond being a thinker and an intellectual, we tend to be philosophical people and stay away from gossip. Also, anything else that doesn't really bring value to our intellect. We 7's tend to be lost in imagination and creative thinking, with good ideas and concepts coming out of this reasoning and deep reflection. Don't underestimate how smart a 7 can be, either. We understand the universe and read people sometimes like an open book, with our thoughts resulting in deeper places than any other personality number. Our mental capacity is used and challenged, and also extremely scary. In this case, a 7 would want a job related to science, math, physics, or chemistry, as a job for us 7s requires methodical thinking and logic. However, we may be seen as a know-it-all because of our strong opinion on almost every single matter. We get bored with people and tend to be the first ones to leave a gathering, not really valuing other people's opinions and disagreements when we likely have something to learn from them. Empathy is the key to reversing this. Although in some cases for me, I really don't agree. And if I have a strong disagreement with it, I'm probably not going to learn from it because it is an absolute lie. Getting into this as a seven, our thoughts tend to lead to studying the mysteries of the subconscious mind, craving to understand where we came from and what happens after death. Well, I can actually explain this a little bit. We came from the dust of the ground, and when we die, death is just returning to dust. This part is already explained, so I don't necessarily agree with a small part of this thing as a seven. Despite this, we tend to be intuitive, feeling people surround us, their pain and joy. Discernment grows after the age of 30, reading people's minds easily without anything escaping us. Because of that, we're successful when it comes to resolving disputes, making a great advisor in the process. This makes people praise and value our knowledge and opinions, even if those who don't appreciate us still seek our guidance. Recharging requires us to be in a quiet and solitary environment, with noise disturbing our thoughts and preventing us from concentration. As someone with autism, this speaks to me volumes. When nobody is around us, we tend to appreciate the presence of animals, pets, and companion animals. Us sevens tend to have a hard time trusting others at some points, preferring to rely on ourselves and our own thinking. We're extremely independent, feeling that we don't need anybody. Anybody sensing a pattern here? Anyway, in a relationship, we need to put our partner first as a seven, since we tend to be centered on ourselves. But we also need a partner who can handle our discussions on metaphysics and the mysteries of life. If he or she doesn't align with that, this could potentially be a deal breaker for us, but not all of us sevens. We'll talk more than we give, but always know what our partner needs, making them feel special. Marriage is a concept we will take very seriously. We also need to keep our sexual desires in check, as we love to flirt. And this can escalate quickly into an intense relationship. Thankfully, waiting until marriage is a good way to minimize this risk. However, we tend to set high expectations on ourselves and others, even criticizing our own merits or achievements, which can sabotage what's not shown yet to us. Maybe it's because we're trying to be down to earth and humble, which is my guess on the matter. This was a long one, though. Next, my life path number of 5. This is the reason I have a karmic debt of 14, whereas my personality number of 7 is the reason I have a 16 for my karmic debt, plus the soul urge of 1, indicating a 19, as stated earlier. That said, those with a life path of 5 are an interesting bunch of people. As someone drawn to numerology, I already know that life is not random, but a script that's written by sacred patterns in numbers. This reveals a choreography of a cosmic dance, so to speak. Speaking of this cosmic dance, fives are bold and improvisational, people who don't follow the rules. I go to beats others don't hear, creating a captivating routine, adding sparks of freedom and enlightenment. keeping the world full of possibilities and excitement. Our purpose here is to embrace change and embody the essence of liberty as a five. We thrive on independence, leap into the unknown, explore uncharted territory, have an energy that lights up the room, flow with life's twists and turns, with challenges not holding us back, creative out the wazoo we are, and we're also unexpected decision makers. This leads to a way to leave an impression, inspiring others to step out of their comfort zones and embrace a new way of life. Our only issue is that we may avoid being grounded, which is a recommendation to balance wild energy with embracing our role as an explorer, finding courage to take risks and the wisdom to adapt to changing of the pace of our own lives. These are a must. Having a set routine might be something we just don't do as a five, which is having to do with being someone who's a freedom lover. As a five, I would seek a partner who matches my sense of adventure, sharing my thirst for discovery, and is unafraid of the twists and turns of life. We would thrive on a mutual respect for our independence, since we should be about balance and being grounded and down to earth. Romantic compatibility is something that's covered here for the life path as well. And based upon that, I would imagine I'd do well with a fellow 5, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 22, and 33 from a cursory look. I won't go into detail here, since this episode is way too long for that. I'd be here for days if I explained it all, so take a look at Beach's article on Life Path 5 if you want to know about these romantic compatibilities. Finally, we have my soul urge, or heart desire number, which is 1. One source says it's a 2, but I think there was something wrong. Anyway, this explains why I have a karmic debt of 19. As a soul urge of 1, we have a strong desire for independence and autonomy, highly motivated and driven, creative like nobody else, have a strong sense of self-belief, and are also direct and assertive in pursuing our desires, advocating for our needs, and courageously standing up for ourselves. As someone who's single, people might be drawn to our independent spirit and ambition. For me, I would seek someone who matches my energy, focusing on finding somebody supporting my goals while valuing their own independence. Deep connections based upon mutual respect and shared aspirations are a key to getting into a relationship. But we also need to embrace our individuality and let that shine. Collectivism will not work for us. This lets the right person get drawn to us, so technically, we don't choose who we want as a soul urge of 1. Balancing our presence with openness and vulnerability creates a strong bond when the right person comes to us. I feel my creator will choose the right one for me when I had proven myself, essentially. As a 1, we're also natural leaders, with our soul desiring to be in roles allowing us to take charge, pioneering new ideas, and driving projects forward. Careers for a soul urge of 1 include entrepreneurship, an executive position, project manager, salesman, or any other role that allows for autonomy, leadership, and creative thinking depending on the other numbers in our chart. Our professional skills and attributes are marked by initiative, seeing the big picture, and devising strategies to pull off crazy but measured goals. This makes us formidable, as determination and confidence stand out for us. The challenges to this can be difficulty to collaborate due to, from what I am seeing here, due to independence, impatience, and talking too much. Boy, am I talkative, but that's part of it. To get past this, we need to learn patience, listen to others, and delegate efficiently and effectively. Mentorship is a requirement to refine our leadership skills. Also, staying open to feedback, balancing leadership drive with humility and collaboration will also help us climb to the top and maintain a successful, fulfilling career in what we were chosen to do. We don't choose, unfortunately, as I believe my Creator chooses what we do with our lives, though we have to execute it. I'm actually doing that right now as we speak, and y'all don't even know it. Anyway, this one was quite long. Despite that, you can listen to this podcast every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, and bonus episodes right here in Podcast 2.0 on some Thursdays at 4 or 5 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also listen to this podcast on YouTube at Neeks and Doig is the channel, though these episodes will only be Podcast 2.0, or if you add the RSS feed onto your Podcast 1.0 catcher. That said, this was the bonus Neeks and Doig Kokul show for this week. Thank you, and good night.